afternoon. Welcome back to Farm Talk. Sunshine. Isn't that nice? And actually warmth. Isn't that nice? It is May, you know. All right, Mother Nature. It looks like we may be turning the corner, and I'm pretty happy about that. Not to say it's going to be like a heat wave out there today, but talking and looking at the forecast by the weekend, it looks like by what, Sunday, maybe upper 70s, maybe 80s by Monday. So we'll see if the worm has finally turned. Coming up on today's show, we got a lot of different things we're going to do. We're going to catch up with Aaron Seidel. Been a little while since we've talked to Aaron. Going to be talking about their latest products that maybe can help you with your crops this year from Nutrien Ag Solutions. We'll talk some markets at 2:20. Julia Fedorchak, Congresswoman Julia Fedorchak, is going to join us for a bit at 2:33 today. We'll get an update on what's happening in Washington, D.C. And then also we're going to see what Jim Savvy is up to with the Pipers. He is what? He's way out there, way west every time he's got something going on. So we'll see if they got a big sale or what's been done with planting, all that coming up at 2:49. In the meantime, there was a story recently talking about soy foam. We have talked about this before, and when we say soy foam, we're talking about the kind that firefighters have been using, at least in a few departments in our area. And we're hoping that I'm sure the North Dakota soybean folks are hoping this gets adopted nationwide. Don't know why not, but we're going to find out some of the uses and what they have found. We're going to bring in the fire chief from Castleton, and they have been using the soy foam quite a bit. First of all, good afternoon, and nice to finally be warm, I'm sure, Fire Chief John Hale.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's nice to be warm, and it's nice to have had the couple of rain showers that we've had in the past few days.
My goodness.
That was very, very welcome.
Did we end up with, and I'm going off topic just slightly, but I did not hear a lot of like grass fires or wildfires. That's one thing that I'm glad we didn't have, or at least, or did we? Was there anything like that during the big wind?
So we did. There were a few. They were fairly small in this area.
Okay.
But it seemed like we did have if not every other day, every day we had at least something kind of small pop up here and there. And you know, we're able to take care of it, and and it didn't become a news story, which is always good. We try to stay out of it.
Yes, that's always a good thing. Keeps me busy, but yes, no, it's a good thing. Have we kind of gotten past that with the recent rains, or is that only a temporary fix to, you know, with the grasses and everything? Are we still super dry out there as far as that goes? Is there still danger for, you know, wildfires and different things?
Right. So fairly weather-driven, you know, on those windy days, hot, dry, low humidity days, we still have the ability to get into a red flag warning or a burn ban scenario on those days, because the dead vegetation from last fall is still there. It's getting covered up by the green vegetation from this spring, but it's still there. And so, you know, those red flag warning days, those are more of a warning of, hey, fire today is going to spread faster than it normally would. So if you thought that you were having a controlled burn, it could get out of control fairly easily. And so, so that's why we can have those days almost all year long, just because of wind-driven and heat-driven fire.
And it doesn't take much to spark. I mean, you don't even really have to have an open flame. You can have a hot manifold, right? Or just, you know, anything.
Right. Of all the odd things that I've seen over my career, grinding cement or ditch mowing and hitting a rock and that spark. And so it can really be just about anything.
Yeah.
You know, so, yep, that's why on those days we say, you know, if it's open flames or any flame you can see. And so we try not to have those during those high fire danger weather events.
Gotcha. All right. Didn't mean to sidetrack you too much, because we want to talk about the soy foam. So first of all, if you would, talk to me or talk to our listeners about Castleton Fire Department and your use of soy foam and its adaption so far. And has that been a policy? Is that something you guys officially had to get past? Or just kind of go through the process, I guess.
Sure. So we started a handful of years ago looking for an alternative. So firefighters like to use foam, and, you know, we kind of joke around about it, but we like to say it makes water wetter. So anytime that we can add bubbles to water, we expand its surface area, and we allow that water to soak into materials better, so your woods and your solids. So if that water can sit on that surface and stay there longer, it's going to do a better job of extinguishing fire and cooling it off. We knew that the older foams that we had been using for the past 30 or 40 years, and I say using, we really got to a point where we weren't using them because of the chemistry that they were produced with. So PFAS chemistry came about in the late 70s, early 80s, and it made a great firefighting foam, but for many years we didn't know the long-term effects of what that would bring with it. And so over the last few years, many different, different agencies, if you've heard of Camp Lejeune or, military bases where there are big class action settlements, that's due to firefighting foams. And so not wanting to get sued, wanting to help protect our environment and our residents and ourselves, we started looking around for different alternative firefighting foams that we could utilize, and stumbled upon soy foam. So it's a bio-based firefighting foam, mostly made from soybean meal. So it's the byproduct of soybean oil production. So they were looking for a home for all that meal anyhow. And so they're using the proteins from soybean meal to produce a foam. And so what used to be thought of firefighting foams, we're going to use this for hazardous materials or fuel fires, we're now able to use firefighting foams for a multitude of different fires, including, home fires or pasture land, things where humans and animals are going to be in contact with the soil or the substances that we're spraying it on after the fact. And so it's kind of been this game changer for the rural fire department for a number of reasons. We can use the same foam basically across the board. So if it's a fuel fire, we can use it on that. If it's a home, we can use it on that. If it's a pasture or wildland scenario, we can use it on that. And so it's one foam, so we don't have to carry multiple different types. Wow. Which is wonderful for us. And it's also, like I said, it's making that water wetter, right? So rural areas, we don't have fire hydrants out in the middle of the country. And so if it's allowing us to stretch our water and get more out of a fire truck. So water shuttling is still a thing, but it's not as critical currently because we're able to put out more fire with less water. That's also wonderful for homeowners, as if your home has a room and contents fire, and we put 1,000 gallons of water in your home, now you have water damage. But if we can put out the same fire with 50 to 100 gallons of water, there's less water damage. So it's kind of a compounding good thing in many different ways.
Okay, I just have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you about. I saw the news story that was sent to me. I think it was by U.S. Soy, but you guys actually had, which would be a circumstance which most of our listeners could probably relate with, was a rural farm fire. Was this a test, or was this an actual farm fire? Because you had multiple uses, you had to use the spray foam for that everybody can kind of understand it would be applicable for them.
Right, it was an actual farm fire. Picture two farmyards sandwiched right next to each other with a shared driveway. And so one shop started on fire and very quickly spread to one other shop close by. There are also other multiple sheds and propane tanks and things of that nature within the vicinity and some vehicles as well. And so it was a, multiple building, multiple exposure fire where lots of things were exposed to the heat and flames. And so once again, being able to use one product and cool off all of those different surfaces was incredibly beneficial.
Well, that's crazy. So one last question. To my understanding, you have to get this spray foam certified. Is that done by your fire department, or like somebody in California can't just start using this product, right? It has to be, licensed, or how does that work?
Sure, and so think alphabet soup of the United States government. Every organization or branch of the military kind of has their specifications. So there's a mil spec, there's a Class A certification for foam and Class B. There's underwriters laboratories, there's a whole pile of different things. And so different departments will say, hey, we're going to go with mil-spec, or we're going to go with Department of Defense or Department of War spec, or we're going to go with underwriter laboratory spec. And so you can kind of pick and choose, depending on your state, which one of those specifications you're going to choose to see, to say, hey, our foam has to meet XYZ requirement.
Gotcha.
And so far, soy foam has met just about all of those requirements. The folks who are making it, as they've stumbled through this process of, hey, we have a fire suppressant, now what? It takes time to contact all of those different agencies and or even realize that a different state will have a different specification. And then, okay, well, we'll send off a sample to you, and you can put it through the ringer and let us know. But so far for us at Castleton Fire, it's passed everything that we've required it to pass, and we're very happy to be using it.
Fantastic. So is it a staple of your fire engines, or is it still in a test phase?
So we went through our test phase about 2 years ago, and so now it's a staple on all of our trucks, from our wildland, what we call brush trucks, to our fire engines. It's carried on every one of our trucks.
I bet they could have used that in California a year and a half ago. I don't know if they were using that.
Yeah, it's for wildland purposes, it's a wonderful product.
John, we appreciate you taking the time out. Anything, I just got a few seconds left. Anything that I didn't ask you about, or just a quick thing, or did we pretty much cover it for the soy foam?
Just real quick, want to say thank you to the soybean farmers, Soybean Checkoff. A lot of the funding for coming up with this product was from you guys. And, in the fire service, it's just nice to know that other groups are thinking about us and trying to help us find products to help us be safer and help our communities be safer. So thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you as well, Fire Chief for Castleton, John Hale. How are we doing for firefighters? Still in need, or are you guys fully staffed right now?
Yeah, so would always take a few more. We are a volunteer fire service in Castleton, much like most of the state of North Dakota. And so the answer is more is always better. We have a fantastic group, and we've got a fantastic group of young folks as well. But it's one of those things where we need able-bodied folks, and the more the merrier that way. So
okay,
we're doing well, but would take some more.
Absolutely.